All of our volunteers have different reasons, but for most of us, it's a desire to help the community. And this is a way in which we can do that and use some of the skills that we want to get better at. You know, for me, it was I wanted to volunteer somewhere, but I didn't want something that was my day job. And so I didn't want to do accounting. I didn't want to, you know, we have actually some great students who volunteer to help people with their taxes. And that's great, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to get away from that. So this was about as far away from my day job as I could get.
That's for sure. And of course, all of the volunteers go through training. It's not like you just show up and say, I've got the skill and trust me, I'm good at it.
Right. And actually, we have a pretty good recruiting process now. We admit about 4 to 5 people every 6 months if we can. And then we train, of course, the new folks train alongside the older, more experienced members. We all do trainings together. We have at least 2 training events every month. And then we train everybody on all the different skills that they need. You know, nobody has to. In fact, I didn't have any special skills when I joined. I'm willing to help. I have the time and I can do this. And I've learned everything since then. So we love to train. And that's actually most of what we do is training.
And, of course, Montana is the kind of state, as opposed to, say, Kansas, probably, mm-hmm. which is where I'm from, no knock on Kansas, where search and rescue are going to be called out often or more often than some places just because we're a state where people recreate outdoors.
Absolutely. And you know, I moved here from Illinois, so I know what the Midwest is like. But I always say in Illinois, I was the outlier because I would hike once in a while. And in Missoula, I'm the outlier because I don't hike every day. You know, and people are active out here, and we get visitors that come and visit and tourists and people that just don't know the area as well and don't know the hazards. But you know, most of the people we look for are Montana residents.
And experienced often.
It's not just, you know, you think of a couch potato who shouldn't be out in the woods. It's not just that person that we look for. It's you know, bad things can happen to anyone at any time.
Give me an idea of the different kinds of searches and rescues you've been out on, because I'm sure they run the gamut.
They do, and in fact, some counties in Montana have specialized teams. You know, one team will do dives if there's somebody in the water. One team will, you know, they have a dog team. Some counties will have a ski team. In Missoula County, we all do a little bit of everything. We don't have enough of any single kind of rescue to specialize like that. But of course, we have some people that are more into skiing, and they take the lead on the ski rescues. Some people are more into hiking, and so on a ground search they would be more active, but we really do a little bit of everything, all the way from you know, we've done a search. We did a search a few years ago in Lolo for a child who just hadn't come home from school. And so we helped the sheriff's office go door to door just to see if he was at a friend's house, and eventually did find him at a friend's house. So that was great. All the way from that to, you know, we've done, like this weekend, we did that ski recovery. We do that a couple times a year. We look for lost hunters, lost hikers. We do, you know, as the sheriff or as part of the sheriff's office, you know, the sheriff is the coroner from Missoula County. If there's a body that he can't get to, maybe it's in the river or down a cliff or something, we have the equipment to do that. So we do body recoveries.
And of course, you were involved in the avalanche recovery as well last Friday night. And that was, I'm sure, a first for you.
You know, that was a first for everybody. You know, when we all got on scene, I think there was even a discussion between the sheriff's department and the fire crews as to who takes command. You know, if it's a collapsed structure, obviously the fire crews have the training and the knowledge and the equipment to deal with that, where we have the training and the knowledge and the equipment to deal with an avalanche scene. So we, you know, nobody really had thought about ahead of time what we would do in that situation.
An in-town avalanche.
Yeah, an in-town avalanche. That's just, you know, we got a page that said avalanche at this address. You never get an address with an avalanche. It's always out in Lowell Pass somewhere, you know.
Right. Well, you were very busy, as you were saying, Friday night, because after you were finished with the avalanche recovery, you were called out on the 2 skiers who were missing, mm-hmm. who had skied out of bounds and snowball.
Right.
And they were thankfully found the next day and are recovering. But that incident prompted you to write a letter outlining some very good tips for people. And one of the tips that you thought that experience illustrated was that even though they were prepared to be caught in an avalanche, mm-hmm. they were not prepared for everything that could have happened to them, and they weren't prepared for what did happen to them.
Exactly. And you know, given what did happen and what they had, they did a great job of improvising. You know, they dug a snow cave, they got out of the elements, they used the equipment they had to make the best of their situation. I, you know, of course, get questions as chief of search and rescue about what could they have done better, and people ask me what our feelings are on the situation was. So I felt that, you know, there was a need to respond in the same venue in which those skiers issued their statement. And basically it's that they could have been better prepared. And a lot of us could be. You know, it's not just them. A lot of us don't carry everything that we should. But really it's not about carrying the kitchen sink. You don't need everything for every possible emergency. It's taking a few basic items and having the common sense to then improvise. You know, and those skiers improvised with what they had and made the best with what they had. They might have been a little more comfortable if they had had waterproof matches or a lighter, you know, very small things that can make a big difference. And so, you know, hikers refer to it as the 10 essentials. This list has been refined since the 1930s. And if you just Google for 10 essentials, it's a pretty good list of a fairly small number of light, small items that you can carry.
Right. It's not like you have to carry a 100-pound backpack.
Exactly. Nobody wants to do that.
Right. And they're not going to do that.
So it's just the 10 basic things that can really, really make a difference.
And those 10 essentials are listed at several websites, and you can go to Wikipedia or REI and
right.
get those 10 essentials. So we won't go into those. But the other point you made in your letter, which I thought was so good, was that the one thing you really need to do in these situations is use your brain and make good decisions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so once you realize you're in trouble, it's a little bit too late. But even at that point, you can stop and think. You know, and running around doesn't do any good. So stop, think about what your situation is, think about what you have available to you to help, and do the best you can. And you know, even before you get into that situation, that's really the best time to make good decisions. You know, most emergencies are not a single thing that went wrong. It's a series of decisions that lead you down a path that ends up in where you are.
And you made the point that sometimes people fall into what you call a trap of they're familiar with an area, so they think they know what they're doing. Like these two fellows, they had skied this particular area before.
Yeah.
But the trap they fell into was that conditions change.
Exactly. So the trail that they were on, they had been on before and seemed familiar, but Friday was different. There was a blizzard coming in. Avalanche conditions were elevated. Even if the blizzard hadn't hit yet, that means that the consequences of taking a wrong turn are much more dangerous, or they were on Friday than you know, the middle of the summer when you're not dealing with frostbite and 4 feet of snow. So I think, you know, any decision that you make in the backcountry, just think carefully about what you're doing and how things might be different today than they were a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
When people do get lost and search and rescue is called out, of course, the general public makes all kinds of judgments about what happened.
Right.
And usually, often anyway, I should say, the judgments are that the people were idiots, whatever they did to get themselves into trouble. But you don't view it that way.
Absolutely. And you know, we've done rescues for people who are very well experienced in the backcountry who just get injured. You know, sometimes we had one gentleman who tore his Achilles tendon and could not hike out. So we went and helped. And he knew what he was doing, and he knew what the problem was and did everything he should have done. But he would not have made it out on his own. So we don't judge. And that's actually throughout the history of search and rescue. You know, the St. Bernard dogs come from the monastery at St. Bernard Pass. And I guess, you know, the monks used to get flack for helping smugglers when they were stuck. But their point was, we're just helping travelers. We don't care why they're traveling. We don't care what got them into the situation. Our role is to help them get out. And that's how we view it, too. Our role is to help people that need help.
Josh, you do wonderful work with County Search and Rescue. There are many of us who never know when we might need those services, that's for sure. And so we're very grateful that we have those available here in Montana. And I have been speaking with Joshua Herbold, who is chief of Missoula County Search and Rescue, about some of his tips for how to avoid getting in the situation where you need to be rescued. But if you do, he's there. And we're sure glad you are, Josh. Thank you.
And if I could add one point.
Sure.
All of this really is a team effort. You know, I was the one that wrote this letter just because I happen to be chief right now. But we do everything as a team. And even that avalanche on Friday was a true community team effort. And I think that really just drove home the point that this isn't an individual thing. It's not about me. It's not about any one of our members. It's about us working as a team and doing the best we can.
Give ourselves the best chance when we do that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.